بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على النبي الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Brothers and sisters, we're going to now, inshallah ta'ala, listen to a lecture that's going to be given by the Sheikh Abu Usama, Abu Hatim Usama Al-Kusi, Hafizahullah ta'ala, and this talk is centered around the Muslim woman and the fact that the Muslim woman is all of the society. She is the society, as the Sheikh inshallah ta'ala is going to explain. And from the reasons that we chose this particular issue is because we didn't want the people to come here, the people of knowledge, and then to leave without addressing the important issue of our women, our wives, our daughters, our sisters, our aunts, our grandmothers who are in the community. We still feel that our community has a long way to go as far as our growth and development is concerned. But in particular, the women of this community seem to have an extra long way to go in terms of what we hear from some of the problems that they're dealing with. But they are a reflection of us, and we are a reflection of them. So in order to give them some tawjihat and some irshad from the people of knowledge, we agreed with the Sheikh to take this time out after Salatul Dhuhr to address their issue. So with that, inshallah, the Sheikh is going to present that as today's lecture. فَلْيَتَفَضَّلْ.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبع هداه وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فيقول الله عز وجل ولهن مثل الذي عليهن بالمعروف وللرجال عليهن درجة والكلام في الآية عن النساء ولهن مثل الذي عليهن بالمعروف فالمرأة لها من الحقوق كما عليها من الحقوق عليها من الواجبات كما يحق لها كذلك على الرجل من الواجبات وإن كان الرجال لهم على النساء درجة القوامة فالرجل هو القيم هو المسؤول عن الأسرة هو المسؤول عن السعي هو المسؤول عن إنقاذ هذه الأسرة من الضلال ومن النار كما قال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا فمسؤولية الرجل مسؤولية كبيرة لأنه هو الراعي لهذه الأسرة كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته فالرجل راع في أهل بيته ومسؤول عن رعيته والمرأة راعية في بيت زوجها ومسؤولة عن رعيتها وهنا نعلم أن مسؤولية المرأة إنما تقتصر على داخل بيتها داخل بيت زوجها فالرجل راع بإطلاق مسؤول عن الأسرة بإطلاق أما المرأة فمسؤوليتها داخل البيت والمرأة راعية في بيت زوجها ومسؤولة عن رعيتها فالأصل في المرأة أنها تقر في البيت ليست مطالبة بالسعي وليست مطالبة بالخروج من البيت لتوفير نفقات الأسرة هذه مسؤولية الرجل كما قال تعالى الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم. فمحاضرتنا هذه هي في تذكير أخواتنا النساء بما عليهن من مسؤولية. وكنت قد ألقيت محاضرة في المؤتمر 12 لجمعية القرآن والسنة فيما أذكر الآن بعنوان المرأة هي المجتمع كله، لنفس هذا الغرض الذي أتكلم فيه أو من أجله الآن. لماذا المرأة هي المجتمع كله؟ لأن أعداء الإسلام الكفار يقولون لنا أخرجوا نساءكم من البيوت فإن المرأة هي نصف المجتمع. فنحن نرد عليهم قائلين لا، المرأة عندكم أنتم نصف المجتمع، لأنها كالرجل والرجل عندكم كالمرأة، لا فرق بينهما. أما نحن فعندنا المرأة هي المجتمع كله، لأنها هي التي تربي لنا الجيل القادم بأسره رجالا ونساء، فبصلاح هذه المرأة يصلح المجتمع، وبفسادها يفسد المجتمع. ومغايرة بين عنوان الكلمتين أو المحاضرتين، فقد كانت تلك بعنوان المرأة هي المجتمع كله، يمكن أن نجعل هذه الكلمة بعنوان والمرأة مسؤولة.
After opening up with khutbat al-haja or part of it, the Sheikh went on to say, Ikhwan, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, and to the women, they will have the rights that are similar to the rights that men have over them with ma'ruf. And the men's right is greater. So we repeat. The ayah said, and to the women, they will have rights that are similar to the rights that are over them with what is ma'ruf. But the men have a right over them. They have a daraja over them. The Sheikh went on to say that this ayah helps us understand that the woman, she has rights. Just as there are people who have rights over her, she also has rights over other people. And there are wajibat, or things that are obligatory upon the woman to do. Similarly, or just as there are wajibat, or obligations to be done by the man, or the men. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, though, has given the men superiority over them, and we have to make that clear based upon the ayat of the Quran, that the men have the qawama, that the men are responsible, or they have the qayyim. The man is responsible for his family. He's responsible for steering and for charting the course in which the family is going to take. The man is responsible, the husband is responsible for saving his family from balala and from the nar. He is responsible for saving his family from being astray and from the hellfire. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from the hellfire. So this is the responsibility of the man, and it is a tremendous responsibility because he is what is known as a ra'in, or one who is like a shepherd over his flock, which is his family. As the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he said, the man is a shepherd over his flock, and he will be held accountable or responsible for them. And the woman is a shepherdess over her husband's home and over his children. So the man is responsible for all of the members of his family. Similar to that, the woman has a tremendous responsibility as well, that she is responsible for her husband's home and what is inside of the home. So every single sister and every single woman, she needs to understand this so that she will have knowledge about how she should go about facilitating what she needs to have facilitated to take care of her responsibility. There's another point that I would like to draw your attention to, and that is the responsibility or the mas'uliyah of the woman. It is contained in a small restricted circle, and that is her responsibility as it relates to her family is just that. It is inside of her house. inside of her husband's house, because the asal or the origin for the woman, as far as how she's been created and what she has been commissioned to do, is she has been ordered to stay in her home, to make her home a place of comfort for all of the individuals of her household. She is not requested, it has not been requested of her to go outside of the home to do anything. For an example, it is not her responsibility to go outside of the home to search for the nafaqah or the sustenance for the family. That is the sole primary, the sole responsibility of the man, of the husband. As Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, the men are the qawwamuna over the women, because Allah has honored them over the women, and because they spend, the men spend from their monies. The Sheikh went on to say, so today our small and brief lecture is going to be centered around this issue. It is designed to remind these sisters and these women of their responsibility and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for them. And I remember that I gave a lecture similar to this in the QSS's conference. It was the 12th conference of the QSS, if my memory serves me correctly. And the name of that particular conference was The Woman, She is the Society. Or The Society is the Woman. And it was for this reason that we talked about this issue. And someone may ask, what do you mean by the woman, she is the society? The reason why I chose this particular topic and to name it by this name is because the enemies of the Muslims, the enemies of Allah, the enemies of Al-Islam, we hear them saying to us as an ummah, let your women folk go outside and mix in the society, and do not hold them captive in their homes. For verily, the woman is half of the society. The woman is half of the society. The Sheikh said that our response to that statement is, the woman is half of the society to you people. She is just like the man, and the man is just like her. And you want their responsibilities to become lost, and you want confusion to set in, so that people would not know what they're supposed to be doing. But to us, in our religion, the woman is so important, and the woman's role is so valuable, that we consider her to be all of the society. She's the one who's going to give birth to the society, and she's the one who's going to take the time out more than anyone else to give the training to those who she's given birth to. So therefore, we disagree with that concept that the woman is half of the society, and we say our women, the Muslim women, they are all of the society.
وأنا أشبه دائما كلام هؤلاء الأعداء برجل دخل مصنعا لصناعة أي شيء، لصناعة السيارات، لصناعة أي شيء من أشياء الأمور الدنيوية، فرأى المهندسين والعمال يعملون في المصنع بجد، كل واحد يعمل شيئا، ثم رأى مكانا من المصنع رآه هادئا ليس فيه حركة، ورأى في هذا المكان رجلا جالسا على كرسي لا يتحرك مثل هؤلاء، فقال ما بال هذا الرجل لا يعمل، هذا الرجل معطل، هذا الرجل لا فائدة له. فقيل له بل هذا الرجل الذي تقول أنت إنه لا فائدة له لأنه جالس في ذلك المكان الهادئ هو الذي يتوقف عليه نجاح المصنع كله أو فشل هذا المصنع كله، فهذا الرجل هو المؤتمن على مخازن هذا المصنع، المنتجات بعد أن ينتهى منها تخرج إلى عنده، فهي بعد تصنيعها توضع أمانة عنده حتى تصل إلى المستهلك، وكذلك الخامات التي يصنع منها المنتج كذلك توضع عنده فهو مؤتمن. فهذا الرجل المؤتمن على هذه المخازن تقريبا هو المسؤول عن كل رأس مال المصنع دخولا وخروجا، فلو أنه لم يقم بمهمته لفسد المصنع كله، ولما استفدنا من حركة كل هؤلاء العمال أي شيء؟ فجلوس هذا الرجل في هذا المكان ليحرسه وليكون أمينا عليه، ليعرف ما الداخل وما الخارج، ليعرف كم أنتج وما هي النفقات والتكاليف. هذا الرجل هو المؤتمن على هذا المصنع، هو الذي يحافظ عليه من الضياع. وكذلك المرأة في بيت الزوج، الزوج يكد ويعمل ويشقى ويعرق، ثم كل تعبه يصب في البيت. فإذا لم تقم المرأة بحماية بيت هذا الرجل فإن تعبه كله يذهب هباء منثورا، أولاده يفسدون وينحرفون. إذن كما لو كان يصب في قربة مقطوعة كما يقال، أولاده لا يتعلمون شيئا ينفعهم، المرأة نفسها كذلك تنحرف ولا تكون امرأة صالحة، بناته كذلك ينحرفن. إذن ما فائدة تعبه هذا؟ ما فائدة كده؟ كل هذا يذهب هباء منثورا. فالمرأة لذلك نعرف لماذا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: المرأة راعية في بيت زوجها ومسؤولة عن رعيتها. ولهذا أيضا نفهم السبب أنها لو تصدقت من مال زوجها أي بإذنه فله نصف الأجر، ولها أيضا هي نصف الأجر، لأنها مؤتمنة على مال زوجها، هي التي ترعاه وهي التي تحافظ عليه، تحافظ على أولاده وبناته وتحافظ على ماله. بل المرأة والذي نفسي بيده يمكن أن تحول البيت إما إلى راحة وجنة وإما إلى جحيم وشقاء. الرجل الذي رزقه الله بامرأة طيبة صالحة أمينة تحول بيته إلى جنة، يدخل البيت فيجد راحة، يجد سكينة، يجد طمأنينة، كما قال تعالى: أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة. بل لعلها تقتصد في البيت فيصير لعلها تقتصد في البيت فيصير الكثير فيصير القليل كثيرا، لعلها تقتصد في النفقة وتدبر أمور البيت حتى يصير القليل كثيرا، بخلاف المرأة غير الصالحة فإنها تدمر كل شيء. لكن بإذن الشيطان وبإرادة الشيطان، والله عز وجل مشيئته غالبة فوق كل مشيئة، ولكن هذه المرأة شاء الله عز وجل أنها بعدم صلاحها تقع مصيدة للشيطان، تدمر كل شيء، لا تبقي لزوجها مالا ولا ترعى له ولدا ولا توفر له راحة في البيت، بل يأتي إلى البيت ليجده نارا تشتعل، ليجده مكانا مملوءا بالمشكلات، فهي لا تساعده بل تنازعه، لا تعينه بل تكون سببا في هروبه في الغالب من هذا البيت، كما يفعل كثير من الرجال. إذا لم يجد من امرأته الطمأنينة والسكينة فإنه يضطر لأن يفر من البيت وأن يتركه بمشكلاته دون حل. وهذا قطعا قد يكون له أسبابه أيضا من الرجل، لكننا نركز في هذه الكلمة على أهمية دور المرأة في البيت، وأنها يمكن أن تكون سببا في سعادة زوجها وأولادها ونجاتهم من عذاب النار، وكذلك بالعكس بالعكس يمكن أن تكون سببا في شقاء زوجها وأولادها، إما في الدنيا وإما في الآخرة وإما فيهما معا. وليس من العجيب أنك تجد ولدا من أولاد نوح عليه السلام كافرا، ثم تقول: لماذا صار هذا الولد كافرا؟ لماذا أقول ليس من العجيب؟ الجواب: هذا الولد لم يصر كافرا من فراغ، فإنك لو تأملت لعرفت أن أمه كانت كافرة، فما حصل لهذا الولد هذا الكفر بدون سبب، بل لأن أمه كانت كافرة. فمهما حاول أبوه أن يصلح من شأنه فإنه يجد من أمه كلاما مخالفا لكلام والده، يجد منها أخلاقا مخالفة لأخلاق والده، يجد منها عقيدة مخالفة لعقيدة والده. ولهذا ضرب الله مثلا في القرآن الكريم لهذه المرأة، ضرب الله مثلا للذين كفروا امرأة نوح وامرأة لوط، كانتا تحت عبدين من عبادنا صالحين فخانتاهما في الدين وليس في الفراش، فخانتاهما. وانظر هنا لهذا التعبير، خانتاهما. إذن المرأة التي تسير على طريقة غير طريقة زوجها في الدين تعتبر امرأة خائنة، تعتبر امرأة خائنة ليست أمينة. الخيانة ضد الأمانة، والأمانة ضد الخيانة. فالمرأة التي تمشي مع زوجها في طريق الصلاح وتساعده في هذه المهمة هي المرأة الأمينة المؤتمنة الصالحة. والعكس بالعكس، المرأة التي تسلك سبيلا غير سبيل زوجها في الصلاح وفي التقى، بل تهدم ما يبنيه زوجها، هو يبني وهي تهدم، هو يصلح وهي تفسد، هو يقول لأولاده افعلوا افعلوا وهي تقول لهم لا تفعلوا، دعكم من والدكم هذا إنه مجنون إنه كذا. هذه المرأة خائنة، وإن لم تخن في الفراش فإن خيانتها أعظم من خيانة الفراش. فالخيانة في الدين أعظم. فخانتاهما فلم يغنيا عنهما من الله شيئا. إذن هنا انتبهي أيتها الأخت الكريمة، انتبهي أيتها المرأة المسلمة، مهما كان زوجك صالحا وأنت بخلاف ذلك فلن ينفعك صلاح زوجك ولن ينجيك. ما يمكن أن تأتي عند الله وتقولي أنا زوجي الشيخ فلان، أنا زوجي الإمام فلان أدخلني الجنة بسببه، كان يخطب في الناس ويعلمهم، لا ينفعك. فخانتاهما فلم يغنيا عنهما من الله شيئا. فزوجك مهما كان إماما للناس لن يكون أفضل من نوح عليه السلام، ولن يكون أفضل من لوط عليه السلام. فلم ينفع نوح عليه السلام زوجه، ولم يغني عنها شيئا، ولم ينفع لوط عليه السلام زوجه، ولم يغني عنها شيئا. فلم يغنيا عنهما من الله شيئا، وقيل دخل النار مع الداخلين.
Sheikh went on to say, Ikhwan, one of the things that I like to do is I like to give an example. And I like to give this example about a man, if you can imagine, if you were to go into a factory, and there's one part of the factory, a factory that makes anything, whatever you can think of. If you go into the factory, you see, in one part of the factory, there's a big space with a lot of people in that factory, and they're making things. And everyone is busy working and working hard. And all you see is a lot of movement and a lot of friction and working all over the place. And then you go to another part of the factory. And in the other part of the factory, you see a man sitting there and he's not doing anything. He's just sitting there. People will say, when they see the other man, after comparing his place of work and his environment with the other people, they'll say, what's wrong with this man? He's sitting there and he's not working. This man is retarded. He's backwards. There's no benefit from this man whatsoever. The Sheikh said, what would be your idea if it was said, this man who's not working, his job is to protect and to maintain and to look after all of the money that the factory makes, the books that the factory has to have, what goes into the factory and what goes out of the factory, how much the factory spent, the liabilities of the factory. This is his job. The Sheikh went on to say that it's clear that this man, his responsibility is greater than everyone else's responsibility in the factory. And it doesn't take away from the importance of the other people's responsibility. He said all of the working and all of the efforts that the people are making in the other portion or the other part of the factory, it will be all for nothing if this man didn't take care of his job. He went on to say that the husband is similar to the people who are in that part of the factory who are working. The husband goes out, he makes himself tired, he struggles, he works, he makes himself sweat, and he brings all of the results of that and he places it with the woman. If that woman does not take from all of the efforts of the husband and she looks at her responsibility properly, like his children, like his money, like all of those affairs, then all of his effort, all of his sweat, all of his work would have been for nothing at all. So you'll find that if a man, similar to this factory, if he had a person who was sitting in that position of not doing a lot of work, but they were responsible for taking care of the factory's records, meaning the children and the money, then you're going to find that that man who's married to that type of woman is going to be very, very sorry. If a man is married to a woman who is not a Muslim, or he's married to a woman who has bad character, then what's going to happen is the man's children are going to become evil in their behavior. And the man's children are going to go astray. They're not going to learn. Even the woman herself, his wife, who this is her description and characteristics, she herself is going to go astray. His daughters are going to go astray. All of them run the risk of being destroyed. And there will be no benefit whatsoever from his working and his effort and his struggling and his toil. He said, from this example, brothers, we know the wisdom now behind why the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the woman is a shepherd, or she is ra'iya. She is responsible for her husband's house. And she will be, and the woman is responsible, and she will be held accountable for her husband's children and her husband's home. We also know from this example the reason behind and the wisdom behind a woman, if she gives sadaqah from her husband's money, why he also gets half of the reward. She gets half of the reward for the sadaqah, for initiating the idea, and he gets the other half because it's his money. He was the one who did the work, and it was her job to do what? To maintain and to protect it and to facilitate, or to put it in its proper place, his money and his children. The sheikh went on to swear, and he said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, I swear by the one who my soul is in his hands, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of our wives, any one of our wives, she has the ability in her hand to make our homes either a paradise or a hellfire, a Jannah or a Nar. So therefore, everyone should make it his business to look very closely at who he's going to pick to be a partner and a companion. If he marries a woman who is a righteous woman, and mar'atu salihah, then what's going to happen is she's going to seek to make his house a paradise. Did you not hear the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He has made for you wives from your own selves so that you can live with them in harmony. And he has placed between your hearts mawaddah and rahmah. He placed between your hearts love and affection and rahmah. This is the characteristic of the righteous woman, that you live with her in tranquility. This woman has the ability to make what Allah Ta'ala gives you, which is a little bit. She has the ability to stretch it to unimaginable lengths. Or lengths. So that a little bit becomes not only sufficient, but it becomes a lot. Not only is a little bit enough, but it becomes more than enough for you. In contrast to the evil woman, whether she is an evil Muslim or whether she is a non-Muslim, this woman, she will make the man's house a hell for him. And it is because she has been overcome by a shaitan. And she's been overcome by shaitan because this is the will of Allah Ta'ala. And the will of Allah supersedes and takes over every other person's will. But the will of Allah allows shaitan to overpower this woman. As a result of that, that man is living in a perpetual hell as long as he remains with that woman. She destroys his money. She destroys his child. And she destroys his comfort, his raha, his state of being comfortable. He comes to the house after a long day of struggling and working and sweating. And when he comes and he opens the door and he enters into the house, he has to wipe his head from the sweat of the hell in the house. He sees a lot of problems in the house. She doesn't help him, nor does she support him. But she is a reason, a direct cause and reason that he flees from the house. He runs from the house. As this is the example, and this is the practice of many of the men some of them right here, right now. That when they come home, the problems that face them, because of the way their wives deal with them, they leave no alternative except for the man to leave the house. And the problem still exists, waiting for him to come back so that he'll leave again. How can we live our lives like this? So this all shows us the importance of the role that the woman plays in the life of her husband and in the life of her children. The woman cannot be a reason that the husband is upset. She's a reason of his unhappiness. And it is not strange, the Sheikh said, it is not strange at all that we find the son of Noah, alayhi salatu wassalam, it is not strange that we find the son of Noah becoming a kafir. That's not strange. Someone may say, how did the son of a prophet become a kafir? The Sheikh said, he didn't become a kafir for no reason at all without any wisdom behind it. If we looked closely and we read the book of Allah Ta'ala, we will find that the mother of this boy, the wife of Noah, was a kafira. As a result of that, that played a role and had an impact on her son. So whatever the father tries to do, no matter how righteous and religious he is, if the wife is a kafir, the wife is always going to go against you in your efforts, in your akhlaq or your behavior. You're trying to teach your son how to be upright, honest, truthful. The woman teaches him something else. In your aqidah, you're telling him how to be a person who is on the ideology of the truth. The mother is on something else. In the kalam, you're trying to teach your son how to do this, how to do that with the good kalam. His mother is doing something else. Listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning this. Verily, Allah has given you an example, a similar to. Allah has given you people a similar to. The wife of Nuh and the wife of Lut. Both of them, what's that word, khiyana? Both of them act treacherously towards their husband. Both of them, and the Sheikh went on to explain that khiyana is the opposite of the amana. If someone takes care of the amana, he's amin. If someone doesn't take care of the amana, he is khain. He made khiyana. The Sheikh said that Allah Ta'ala said, these two women, the wife of Noah and the wife of Lut, both of them acted treacherously towards their husbands. He said they didn't make khiyana in the bed. They made khiyana in something else. And that was the deen. He went on to say that the woman, from this ayat we understand, since Allah said in this ayat, khanatahuma, these two women made khiyana. We have to pay attention. Since Allah described these two women in this ayat with this word, we understand what? That any woman that does not help her husband to do righteousness and to be religious, then that woman is a treacherous woman. Just as Noah's wife and Lot's wife was treacherous, as Allah Ta'ala said, and vice versa. Any woman who tries to do good to help her husband to be upright and to be religious, then she is not a treacherous woman, but she is amina. She has the amana. She takes care of the amana. The Sheikh went on to say, ikhwan, that the husband who is married to this type of a woman, he tries to make salah. He tries to do things that are right and make the affairs correct. But she does the opposite. She spoils them and destroys them. He tries to build and makes and leaves a legacy. She tries to destroy and to knock down the legacy. She always is questioning, are you crazy? Questioning his mental stability. The ayat after that went on to say, that did not help them one bit with Allah. The fact that they were married to two religious men. So the Sheikh went on to say, that no matter who a woman's husband is, he may be the imam, he may be a person who has a position in the society, no matter what his position is and no matter who he is, he will never be able to help the woman who is an irreligious woman. So therefore, the best wife is the wife who was righteous. And we should choose mates who are righteous. Do we not see that in this case, there's no man who's going to come who's going to be better than Noah or better than Lut, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. In spite of that, neither one of them had the ability to help their irreligious wives, their disbelieving wives. Instead, it was said to them, enter into the hellfire along with those people who were enter into the hellfire.
وفي هذه أو في هذا الجزء الأخير من الكلمة إن شاء الله نصف هذه المرأة الراعية. فنحن فهمنا الآن أن عنوان المحاضرة والمرأة راعية ضد المعنى الآخر والمرأة خائنة. راعية أمينة مثل راعية الغنم تماما، تحفظ الغنم وتصونها، وهذه راعية في بيت زوجها راعية. فالرعاية ضد الخيانة، الرعاية كالأمانة تماما، بل فيها معنى زائد عن مجرد الحفظ، يتعلق بالاهتمام بالشيء وتنميته، ليست مجرد حفظ وليست مجرد أمانة حفظية، بل أمانة فيها نوع من الحفظ والتنمية. كذلك كما يفعل راعي الغنم تماما، يصونها من الذئب ويطعمها ويسقيها حتى تكبر وتنمو وتزيد. فالمرأة راعية. ما دور المرأة إذن؟ ما الذي ننصح به المرأة؟ في الآية الكريمة نفسها التي سبقت تلاوتها، الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم، تتمة الآية فالصالحات. كلمة الصلاح تحتاج إلى شرح، ماذا عليهن؟ فالصالحات قانتات. أول صفة القنوت بمعنى الطاعة، قانتات مطيعات لربهن، مطيعات لأزواجهن. فأول صفة للمرأة الصالحة الطاعة، ليست امرأة عاصية، ليست امرأة مؤذية، ليست امرأة معاكسة أو معاندة، المرأة الصالحة مطيعة. فالصالحات قانتات، هذه أول صفة للمرأة الصالحة، الطاعة لله ولرسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم أولا، وتبعا لذلك الطاعة لزوجها، تطيعه، ليست هي رجلا مثله. وأظنكم تتصورون ما يعرف بمصارعة الديكة، عندما نضع ديكين في عشة واحدة أو في حظيرة واحدة ماذا يحصل؟ ما يصلح. حتى إنهم عملوا نوعا من اللعب سموه مصارعة الديكة، فلا يمكن أن يكون في حظيرة واحدة ديكان. فإذا تحولت المرأة إلى ديك تصير المسألة منازعة، هو ينتف ريشها وهي تنتف ريشها، هذه ليست حياة. المرأة الصالحة المطيعة قانتة، تعرف أنها امرأة وأنها محتاجة لقوة زوجها وحزمه، فإن هذا يعود عليها بالخير، كما أنه محتاج لعطف زوجته ورقتها، وإذا لم تكن كذلك عاد عليه كذلك هو بأثر سلبي، بأثر سيء. فالرجل محتاج لعطف المرأة ولينها ورقتها، وهي محتاجة لقوته وحزمه وشجاعته، كل منهما يكمل الآخر، شريكان متعاونان ليس متنازعين، لأن الله يقول ولا تنازعوا فتفشلوا. فالتنازع يؤدي إلى الفشل، والفشل سيكون في الأولاد فشلا ذريعا، سيعود على الكل بالإحباط وبالحزن وبالهم وبالأسى. فأول صفة للمرأة الصالحة الطاعة، الطاعة لربها، الطاعة لنبيها صلى الله عليه وسلم، وتبعا لذلك الطاعة لزوجها. فالصالحات قانتات.
The Sheikh Ikhwan, in giving his advice to the sister, he's also giving us some tremendous advice. He said, now we come to the last portion of our discussion and our lecture, inshallah ta'ala. And that is, now we want to describe for you what is the characteristic of this woman that we've been talking about, the woman who is half of the society, the woman who is a righteous woman, the one that we've been encouraging you to look for, to find, to protect and to maintain. The Sheikh went on to say that this woman who is, as we said, ra'iya, as the hadith said, she is a shepherd. Ra'iya is the opposite of kha'ina, treacherous. Like ra'i, the ra'in of the ghanam, the shepherd who takes care of the sheep. This is how she is. This is her responsibility. He cannot be treacherous as it relates to his sheep. He can't be negligent as it relates to the sheep. So ra'iya is the opposite of khiyana, And ra'iya is the same meaning as al-amana. But instead, it is more powerful in its meaning than al-amana. The woman is a ra'iya, she's a shepherdess. This is more powerful in its meaning than to say it's amana. It has another step in its meaning. For an example, to maintain it, to look after it, to protect it, to have it and to protect it. But ra'iya means to protect something, and in addition to that, to take care of it and to look after it, to help it to grow. Like the one who is the shepherd. What does he do? He protects the sheep. He's a ra'in. He protects the sheep from the wolf. But also at the same time, he has to feed the sheep. He has to give the sheep the water. He has to look for a place where the sheep can go to sleep at. So this issue of the woman who is righteous, this ra'iya, it is very, very important. What's her characteristic? Her characteristic comes in the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the men are qawwamuna ala nisa. Allah ta'ala said that the men are responsible for the women. Because Allah ta'ala has given the fadl, Allah has given honor, raised some over the others. Because of what they spend out of their money. So after that, Allah ta'ala went on to describe who? He said, فَصَّالِحَاتُ قَانِتَاتُ. So the religious woman is qanitat. Allah said, the religious women, the first description is, they are qanitat. Al-qunut comes from this word. What does qunut mean? Qanitat. The righteous women are the ones who are qanitat. He said the meaning of qunut here means al-ta'a. That the woman is an obedient woman. They are muti'at. They are obedient to Allah, and they are obedient to the Messenger of Allah, and they are obedient to their husband. This is the very first characteristic of the righteous wife, that she is obedient, and she is not afia, disobedient to Allah's Messenger and the husband. Nor is she mu'diya, she annoys Allah, the Messenger or the husband. Nor is she mu'akisa, she goes against. Every time you want to do something, she want to do the opposite thing. This is not the characteristic of the righteous woman. She is the woman who's not a man. Some of the descriptions is, she is a woman who is not a man. She does not see herself as being a man. I'm sure that many of you know about the cock fight. The cock fight. The way the two chickens, they fight, the cock. He said, I'm sure everyone knows about that. What happens when you put two cocks in the same environment, in a bin together? They even have a dance or a game with us that is called the cockfight. What happens is when you put two roosters or two cocks in the bin together, they start to try to peck each other's brains out and peck each other's eyes out, and they start to fight, and it becomes confusion, and it becomes a situation that cannot... It becomes a situation that does not... That cannot be controlled. This cock, he wants to be the boss. And the other cock, he wants to be the boss. Similarly, if you have a woman who's trying to be a man, then what happens is, there's going to be the result, like the result that takes place in the cockfight. But instead, brothers, the righteous woman of Islam, she's the woman who recognizes that she is in need of the strength of her husband. The bravery of her husband, the extroverted characteristics of her husband, the power of her husband. She's in need of that. Just as he is in need of her emotionalism. And he is in need of her being soft and kind. He is in need of her mercy. Whenever the woman is without the power and the strength and the bravery of her husband, is going to bring negative results. And whenever the man is without the mercy, the emotion, and the softness and the kindness of his wife, is going to bring problems to him as well. So both of them have to see themselves as sharikan. They have to see themselves as a partnership. People who are in partnership. Look what Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran. And do not tanaza'u. Do not fight amongst yourselves. Or what's going to happen? You're going to lose your strength. If you fight one another, you're going to lose your strength. This niza, or this fighting, and this bickering, and this being at each other,
The end result of it is that the strength that you have, that you should be cultivating, building, and drawing from, it is going to be weakened, and it's going to cause you to suffer. What's the suffering? The very first suffering that you're going to see manifested is going to be in your olad, in your children, who are going to suffer as a result of what's going on. So, ikhwan, make it very, very clear and have no doubt that the first characteristic of the imra'atu saliha is she is qanita. She has a ta'a. A ta'a for Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, and obedience for the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and obedience for her husband.
Wa ta'atu al-mar'ati li zawjiha qarinatun li salatiha wa siyamiha. فهي عبادة. لذلك لا تعجب إن سمعت في الحديث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: إذا صلت المرأة خمسها وصامت شهرها وأطاعت بعلها قيل لها ادخلي الجنة من أي أبواب الجنة شئت. إذن فطاعة المرأة لزوجها أمر عظيم،
الله أكبر،
ليس أمرا سهلا كما نتصور. هذا سبب لدخول الجنة، هذا سبب لرضا الله عنها سبحانه وتعالى. ولهذا فإن طاعة المرأة لزوجها نوع من أنواع مجاهدة النفس، فالنفس أمارة بالسوء، والشيطان يدخل إلى المرأة من مداخل كثيرة، فالمرأة ضعيفة. ولعلنا نذكر أن الشيطان لما أراد أن يغوي آدم عليه السلام ليأكل من الشجرة المحرمة، دخل له أيضا من جهة امرأته، والدليل قول الله تعالى: فوسوس لهما الشيطان. فالشيطان لما وسوس، وسوس لهما معا، لم يوسوس لآدم فقط، بل استغل عاطفة آدم تجاه امرأته، واستغل ضعف حواء عليها السلام، فدخل له من جهة نفسه وكذلك من جهة زوجه. فالمرأة تجاهد نفسها في هذا الباب، باب الطاعة. عليها أن تأمر نفسها بالمعروف، وأن تنهى نفسها عن المنكر، وأن تجاهد نفسها حتى يهديها ربها للخير. والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا. فمن أسباب هداية المرأة أنها تجاهد نفسها في طاعة زوجها، لأن هذا من أسباب دخولها الجنة.
إخواني وأخواتي، the Sheikh went on to say that the obedience of the woman to her husband is something that can be coupled and put side by side with her praying and her fasting. Her obeying her husband is ibadah, and she has to recognize this and get this through her head. And you should not find it strange when you find the hadith supporting this. This is a tremendous issue. The Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if a woman prays 5 times a day and she fasted the month of Ramadan, shahraha, and she obeyed her husband, it would be said to her, enter into Jannah from any of the doors of Jannah that you want to go into. He said, this is a tremendous affair. Amrun azim. This is a tremendous affair. It is not easy, simple, like many of us think it is. How the woman think it is being married, and she doesn't give it the right and due consideration. Her obeying her husband brings so many rewards and so many benefits, like the good pleasure of Allah when she obeys her husband, like enter into the paradise because she obeys her husband. So she has to understand that her obeying her husband is a type of mujahida of her nafs. She got to make jihad against her nafs in this particular thing, because the nafs is what? Ammaratu bisu. It is something that is always going to be encouraged to do evil, do evil, do evil. So she has to make jihad against that nafs and the nature of her nafs. So a shaitan, her avowed and arch enemy, he comes to her from many, many openings. the shaitan. He comes and he gets the woman from many, many openings. And one of the strongest openings that he gets her from is from her weakness in her nafs. If the shaitan wants to get a woman, one of the main weapons that he uses against the married woman is he comes to her through the door of her obedience to her husband. Look at what Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran when he said, فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمَا الشَّيْطَانِ. He said that shaitan whispered to both of them. It didn't say that shaitan whispered to Adam alone. It said that shaitan listened or whispered to Adam and his wife, our mother Hawa, both of them together. Together. The Shaykh went on to say, what happened here is that a shaitan, he took advantage of what? He took advantage of Adam's love for his wife and his weakness for his wife, his emotions for his wife. And he took advantage of the weakness of Adam's wife. So he didn't just come to Adam who has strength. No, he took advantage of Adam's love for his wife, and he took advantage of the weakness of Adam's wife, and that caused Adam to fall. So the lady, the Muslim woman, she has to make jihad against herself. She has to be a person who is doing everything within her power to take care of the ma'ruf and to prevent the munkar. Allah Ta'ala said concerning this, her making jihad against herself, verily those people who make jihad for us, meaning for Allah, for the deen, for the haq, verily those who make jihad against themselves, they make jihad against themselves, we're going to lead them and guide them to our way. So we understand from this ayah, from the benefit of the woman obeying her husband and listening to her husband, is it would increase her in guidance.
ولهذا أيضا لهذا السبب أن المرأة الصالحة مطيعة ومنهية عن أن تنازع زوجها عظم الشرع كما قلنا طاعتها لزوجها فجعله قرينا للصلاة والصيام، وعظم الشرع تشبهها بالرجال، ففي الحديث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لعن الله المتشبهين من الرجال بالنساء والمتشبهات من النساء بالرجال، وكذلك لعن المرأة المسترجلة التي تتشبه بصفات الرجل، تريد أن تكون خشنة، تريد أن تكون قوامة، تريد أن تلبس مثل الرجل، تريد أن تتصرف مثل الرجل، هذه المرأة متوعدة باللعن، بالطرد من رحمة الله سبحانه وتعالى. فالمرأة المطيعة لزوجها موعودة بالجنة، بل موعودة بأن تختار هي من أي أبواب الجنة تدخل، تختار من أبواب الجنة الثمانية، تدخل من أيها شاءت، بخلاف نشوزها وتشبهها بزوجها وبالرجال عموما، فإنها متوعدة بالنار وبالطرد من رحمة الله سبحانه وتعالى.
الشيخ إخواني وأخواتي ونائي to say, and also this reason we want to emphasize that the righteous woman who obeys her husband and she does not contend with him in his power and his position, Al-Islam has put a lot of emphasis or the ta'zeem on this issue. Also, Al-Islam has made a lot of ta'zeem and put a lot of emphasis, and it has expressed the danger of the woman who wants to resemble and imitate and emulate the men. As the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, may the curse of Allah be upon the men who resemble and imitate the women, and the women who resemble and imitate the men. Also he said that the curse of Allah is upon the mustarjila, that's the woman who is trying to be like the man. She's khashina, she's rough and tough and coarse, she wants to dress like the man, She wants to have the power that the man has, the qawama. She wants to act like a man in her action. This woman has been promised that she will be thrown away from the rahmah of Allah, put far, far away and out of the reach of the rahmah of Allah. Where on the other hand, the woman who is salihah, who is muti'a, and she has the ta'a to her husband, look what she gets, as we mentioned. She gets an opportunity to choose from any of the doors of paradise that she wants to go in. 8 doors. She can choose from any of those doors that she chooses to go into.
وقد نهى الله عز وجل الرجال والنساء أن يتمنى كل فريق من الفريقين ما عند الآخر. فقال ولا تتمنوا ما فضل الله به بعضكم على بعض. للرجال نصيب مما اكتسبوا وللنساء نصيب مما اكتسبن واسألوا الله من فضله. فليس الحل أن المرأة تطلب أن تكون رجلا، وليس الحل أن يطلب الرجل أن يكون امرأة، وليس الحل أن يطلب كل من الفريقين صفات الفريق الآخر، بل كل من الفريقين يكمل الآخر. ولذلك أمر الفريقان بأن يسألوا الله من فضله، كل من الفريقين يسأل الله من فضله ويسأل الله الإعانة على ما حمل من مسؤولية. ولهذا فإن المرأة الصالحة كما قلنا تختار أسهل الطرق، وكلما كان الطريق سهلا، لعلكم تذكرون تلك المحاضرة التي ألقيتها المرة الماضية، الدين يسر، يسر الإسلام، كلما كان الشيء سهلا سمحا كلما كان قريبا من الحق وكان قريبا من رضا الله سبحانه وتعالى. فمن علامات الحق سهولته ويسره. فالمرأة المطيعة سهلة، المرأة المطيعة سمحة، المرأة المطيعة تنقاد لزوجها وتجاهد نفسها. فالصالحات قانتات.
الشيخ said, إخوان, for this reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited and made it not permissible for the men or the women to hope and to desire what the other one has. Allah made it haram for the men to desire to be like women, and He made it haram for the women to desire to be like men. As He said in the Quran, and do not, all of you, do not desire and hope for what Allah has honored the other one with. You are from each other. To the men, they will get the portion of what they do, and to the women, they will get the portion of what they do. So ask Allah, all of you, from His virtues, from His fadl. The Sheikh said, the answer to the problem is not for the woman to try to become a man, nor is the answer in a man trying to become a woman. But both groups, men and women, they should ask Allah from His virtues, from His fadl, and be satisfied with who they are and how they are. So therefore, each side should just ask Allah for His virtues and from His virtues. And I'm sure that some of you remember the last lecture that we gave some time ago, where we talked about the religion is Eve. That the deen is Yusuf. And every single time you find something being easy or made easy, you know that it is close to the truth. The easier it is, then the closer it is to the truth. So we find that the woman who obeys her husband, you will find her easy in her behavior. The woman who obeys her husband, you will find it easy for her when she goes about obeying her husband. And the opposite holds true.
فالصالحات قانتات حافظات للغيب بما حفظ الله. هذه الصفة الثانية للصالحات، قانتات مطيعات لربهن ولرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولأزواجهن، حافظات للغيب بما حفظ الله. فالمرأة الصالحة تحفظ زوجها في حضوره وتحفظه في غيابه، تحفظ زوجها في حضوره وفي غيابه، بل هي تحفظه في غيابه أشد مما تحفظه في حضوره. لذلك فإن الله نبه على الحفظ بالغيب، فالصالحات قانتات حافظات للغيب. فالمرأة التي تخاف الله تحفظ زوجها في غيابه
كما بل أشد مما تحفظه في حضوره، لأنها إنما تصون زوجها خوفا من الله، تصون نفسها وأولادها خوفا من الله الذي يراها في كل حين وفي كل آن وفي كل مكان. فالصالحات قانتات حافظات للغيب بما حفظ الله. فهذه الصفة الثانية للمرأة الصالحة، أنها ترعى هذه الرعية التي تركها زوجها في غيابه كما بل أكثر مما ترعاها في حضوره، لأنها تعلم أن الله سائلها ومحاسبها عن نفسها وعن دينها وعن عرضها وعن أولادها وعن مال زوجها وعن بيت زوجها، عن كل شيء استرعاها الله إياه، فهي تحفظ زوجها في غيابه. فالصالحات قانتات حافظات للغيب بما حفظ الله.
الشيخ سلمه الله تعالى من كل سوء. He went on to give the next description of the righteous wife. So Allah Ta'ala said, فالصالحات قانتات حافظات للغيب بما حفظ الله. So the righteous woman is the one who is qanita. She is upright and she is obedient to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and to His Messenger Salawatullahi wa Salamu alayhi and to her husband. So we finish with that. Now we go to the second description. Allah Ta'ala said that she is hafizat lil-ghayb, that she protects the unseen with what Allah protects for her husband. That she is one who protects and she looks after her husband's situation in his absence, in his presence, as well as in his absence. She is protecting his situation in his presence and in his absence. And then he went on to emphasize and he became animated and he said, instead, she protects what she has to protect in his absence even more than what she does in his presence. And that's why Allah Ta'ala emphasized in the ayah, Allah could have just said hafizat and that's it, but he said hafizat lil ghayb. Allah emphasized she is protective in what is done in his absence because it is greater. So she protects herself and she protects her children, fearful of Allah Ta'ala, because she knows that Allah sees her everywhere and in every condition Allah is looking at her. So therefore she protects what Allah will have her to protect in her husband's absence, because she is ra'iya. She is a shepherdess. In his absence, she has been left to take care of something. And she knows that Allah is asking her, is going to ask her about herself. What did she do? And Allah is going to ask her about her deen. What did she do in his presence and his absence? Allah is going to ask her about her honor in his presence and her absence. Allah is going to ask her about the money, and Allah is going to ask her about the children. What did you do? So therefore she protects all of these situations when her husband is there and in her husband's absence.
ثم قال الله عز وجل واللاتي تخافون نشوزهن فعظوهن واهجروهن في المضاجع واضربوهن فإن أطعنكم فلا تبغوا عليهن سبيلا إن الله كان عليا كبيرا. وليس هذا موضوع محاضرتنا الآن كيف نتصرف مع المرأة الناشز، ولكن الآية في نهايتها إشارة إلى ما قدمناه في أول الآية من أن الطاعة هي المطلوبة. فإن أطعنكم فلا تبغوا عليهن سبيلا، فإن كانت المرأة تطيعك فلماذا تظلمها ولماذا تضربها ولماذا تهجرها؟ وإني عجبت والله عندما سمعت أن زوجا من الأزواج الذين تأثروا بالحياة الغربية الكافرة امرأته تطيعه وتسمع له ولا ترد عليه، فإذا به يقول أنا أريد امرأة إذا ضربتها ضربتني وإذا شتمتها شتمتني. ما هذا؟ ما هذا العجب والعجاب؟ هو يريد امرأة تصارعه، يريد امرأة تقاتله. هذا تلويث للفطرة. هذا الإنسان الذي يقول مثل هذا الكلام تغيرت فطرته، هذا تغيرت فطرته. فرب العزة يقول فإن أطعنكم فلا تبغوا علينا سبيلا. أتضربها لأنها تطيعك؟ نحن نبحث عن الزوجة المطيعة. أتضربها لأنها تتأدب معك؟ كيف؟
لا ينبغي. وفي المقابل نقول أيضا للنساء وإن كان الخلع جائزا لكن لابد أن يكون له سبب. فليس معنى أن الله شرع الخلع أن كل امرأة أرادت أن ترتبط بزوج غير زوجها اختلعت لأنها رأت أجمل من زوجها أو أحسن من زوجها. ليس الحل أن تختلع، بل ورد في الحديث ما يخوف من الخلع، فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم المختلعات هن المنافقات. فالخلع إنما يجوز في الضرورات القصوى، عندما تجد المرأة أنها لا يمكنها أن تتدين مع هذا الزوج، لا يمكنها أن تكون مطيعة لله مع هذا الزوج، وعندما يجد الزوج أنه لا سبيل لإصلاح هذه الزوجة يطلقها. الطلاق والخلع يكون في حالات ضرورية، يكون آخر الحلول كما يقول الأطباء العرب القدامى آخر الدواء الكي. فالكي يكون آخر شيء، ما نبدأ به أبدا، الكي آخر العلاج. فالمرأة لا ينبغي أن تكون خراجة ولاجة من هذا البيت إلى هذا البيت ومن هذا الزوج إلى هذا الزوج، لا لا لا، هذه ليست صفة المؤمنات. المؤمنات ليس لسنا بهذه الصفة. المرأة المؤمنة صالحة مطيعة حافظة للغيب حريصة على رضا ربها وعلى اتباع رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى طاعة زوجها، تريد السكن، تريد الاستقرار، تريد الستر، ليس من هذا إلى هذا إلى ذاك إلى ذاك، ليست هذه صفة المؤمنات أبدا. فالمرأة لا تختلع إلا لوجود سبب ضروري لا يمكن معه مواصلة الحياة الزوجية على ما يرضي الله عز وجل. ثم اعلمي أيتها الأخت المسلمة أن معاصي زوجك ليست على رأسك إنما على رأسه. فكثير من النسوة تشتكي تقول أنا أريد أن أختلع لأن زوجي عاصي، لأن زوجي كذا، ذنوبه عليه ليست عليك، ذنوبه على رأسه على دماغه ليست على دماغك، وكل إنسان ألزمناه طائره في عنقه ونخرج له يوم القيامة كتابا يلقاه منشورا، اقرأ كتابك كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا. فإذا كان الرجل مفرطا في دينه، مفرطا في الصلاة، مفرطا في الصيام، شرابا للخمر، كذا كذا، كل هذا عليه. المرأة ليست محاسبة عن شيء من ذلك، إنما هي تحاسب عن نفسها فقط، بخلاف الزوج فإنه مسؤول عن نفسه ومسؤول عن أسرته، فمسؤوليته هو أعظم. فأقول لأخواتنا في هذه البلاد لابد من صبر، ولابد من تدين حقيقي، ولابد من تقوى، ولابد من إخلاص، ولا بد من طلب ما عند الله سبحانه وتعالى، ولا بد من إرادة الآخرة، ولا بد من التضحية بهذه الدنيا ومتاعها الفاني رجاء ما عند الله سبحانه وتعالى. فأسأل الله لي ولكم ولأخواتنا من النساء الصلاح والتقوى، إنه سبحانه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه وحده. ونحن لا نبرئ أنفسنا عن الرجال، بل كلنا محتاجون والله إلى إصلاح نفوسنا. فنسأل الله عز وجل أن يؤتي نفوسنا تقواها وأن يزكيها، فهو خير من زكاها وهو وحده وليها مولاها. وصلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم، وجزاكم الله خيرا على صبركم وحسن إنصاتكم، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
The Sheikh ended his talk, Ikhwan, by saying that the end of the ayat says, and those women who you are afraid of their nishuz and being disobedient, then give them the wa'ad, give them a good preaching, and then separate yourselves from them in the bed, and then hit them. And if they obey you after that, then do not go overboard in dealing with them, for verily Allah is Aliyan Kabira. Allah is most high, and Allah is the greatest. The Sheikh went on to say, the rest of the ayat, this lecture is not designed to talk about what do we do when we find a woman who is nashiza. This is not the meaning and the intent. But I wanted to mention the rest of the ayat so that I can tell you and try to share with you what are we to do if we found that everything that we tried to do with the woman, it didn't work. Everything you did, it didn't work. These ayats are telling you how to go about dealing with her. He said, and I was amazed, and I still am amazed at what I heard about a man who came here and he lived and he was impressed with the life of the West, the way these people live. He said, I want to marry a woman who, when I hit her, she hits me back. A woman who wrestles me and I wrestle her. She contends with me. That's the type of woman that I want to marry. The Sheikh said, this man's, his fitrah has been changed. Instead, it has been destroyed. He has no more fitna, fitrah. How is it possible that Allah Ta'ala say, to say in the Quran, فَإِنْ أَطَعْنَكُمْ فَلَا تَبْغُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ سَبِيلًا. And if they obey you, then don't go overboard in dealing with them. How is it that Allah said, if they obey you, after you warned them, you separated yourself in the bed, and you hit them, Allah said, if they obey you after one of those three things that you do, a man comes and say, no, when I hit, I want her to hit me back. He said, that man clearly is astray. And I want to say to the sisters, to the Nisa, the believing women, about the issue of al-khula, or the woman seeking a divorce. He said that this khula is permissible, but you have to have a valid reason for it. Don't be like those women. Every time something doesn't go right in the marital bond, in the marriage, you see her wanting to get out of the marriage. She's one of those frivolous women that when she sees a man, and she should be covering or lowering her gaze anyway, she sees one man more handsome than her husband, she says, I want to marry him. I don't want to be with this one anymore. He told her, don't be a woman who is kharaja, a woman who's always going out. The Prophet ﷺ warned about this issue. And he said, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi al-mukhtali'atu hunna al-munafiqat. Those women who do this khula, they keep doing it, they are the munafiqat, the hypocrite. So the khula has to be for something that the Shaykh said, something that is from the durur, something that is dururi. It has to be something that is serious going on, some qaswa, some serious situation that's going on. As for the one who can't live with her husband for valid reasons, she cannot be mutadayyin with this husband and there's no sabil, no way to live with him, then the religion has made a way out for her. But sisters in Islam, at-talaq and al-khula are two very serious issues that we need to start understanding and fearing this door. The last alternative should be al-khula and at-talaq. As the Arabs used to say a long time ago, they used to say آخر الدواء الكي. The last form of medication should be to burn yourself. Don't go to burn yourself right away. Try other things. Similarly, the khula and the divorce are like that. Let that be the last alternative, the last thing that you try to do to rectify the problem, and not the first. So do not be a woman who is leaving and jumping around, leaving one house to go to another house, only to go to another house, and yet to go to another house. This is not from the characteristics of the woman who is a righteous woman. But instead, the righteous woman, she wants istiqrar. She wants stability. The righteous woman, she wants satr. She wants to be covered. She don't want her business all out there exposed. So this is not from the sifat of the believing women. And she cannot continue her life like that. The Sheikh went on to say also, believe in women. You who believe, you believe in women. Don't allow yourself to think that the irreligious behavior of your husband reflects on you, or it is your problem as such. So you say, I want to get a divorce because my husband is not religious. His being irreligious falls squarely on his head. That's his charge. That's his problem. As Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, and every single insan, we azamnahu his ta'ira. We made him responsible of himself. Every single person, we made him responsible for himself. And he's going to be held accountable for it. And it will be said to him, Yawmul Qiyamah, this is your book. So read your book for what you did. So the sister has to understand that that is her husband's responsibility and not hers. So the husband, and look at this sister, he is responsible for himself. And he's responsible for you, and he's responsible for his children. But you're not responsible for your husband. The woman is a shepherd, and she's responsible for her husband's children and herself. So you're not responsible for him like that. So I say to all of you, especially you sisters, you have to have sabr, patience. And you have to have taqwa, or fear of Allah. And you have to have ikhlas, or sincerity. You have to be a person who's trying to get with what is with Allah, what Allah has in store for you. Keep that in your mind. You have to be a person who is trying to get to the Akhirah. You have to be a person who's trying to make sacrifices or a tadhiyah. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for salah and a taqwa for all of our women, and that He makes the affairs complete. And He said, and all of us, even the men, we are all in need of salah and taqwa. So therefore I ask Allah for the taqwa for our nafs, and also to give us the tazkiyah of our nafs. For verily Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is the khair, or the best of those who give the who yuzakki, who give the tazkiyah of the nafs. And the Shaykh went on to thank all of you for your good sitting and your good listening and your good patience. Hada wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala nabiyyina wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. I want to make a last point, Ikhwan, before we get up and we leave. We're not going to take any questions because we have some more of the day and we have to have some rahmah with the Shaykh. What I wanted to mention very briefly was, from the benefit that we received of these people of knowledge coming here, is that we sat yesterday with the Shaykh Ali Hassan and the Shaykh Salim Al-Hilali. May Allah preserve both of them. And as the new Imam here, I felt a need to change the condition of the way this masjid was being run. And one of the best ways that you can do that is to take your affair and to raise it to the scholars and the people of knowledge. And if people are afraid of that, and people don't want to do that, then that is deviant. So we did that with those shuyukh. And we want to let you brothers know that our masjid is on a new minhaj, the way our masjid is run and the direction that we go. No longer will the masjid here, as long as it's under the auspices of the Salafiyin, be ran by one or two or three people. The masjid now, according to what we sat down and agreed to with the people of knowledge, we are going to have a group of scholars who we go to, who if there's any ikhtilaf, we agree to go to them. Not fatwa shopping. We agree. We're going to go to these three scholars for our issues, what they judge, that's what we're going to do. Not someone say, I'm not satisfied with that, I'm going to someone else. La, we agree. The second thing is that we have a shura. The shura is responsible for collectively deciding how we're going to take care, where we're going to purchase this building, how we're going to do this, how we're going to do that. If the shura has ikhtilaf amongst themselves, they go to those three scholars and they say, this is what we think you should do, and we submit. And lastly, the issues of the religion, the minhaj, the education, that goes to the office of the imam, and I'm responsible for that. So we do not have anything other than that. So we want you brothers to know that, simply because things won't be done in the dark. We're going to be responsible for letting people know where the money is, what's happening, what we're doing, because this is our community. No one here owns this dawah. So collectively, inshallah, we'll try to do something. So that's what we wanted to share with you. And this is from the benefit that we get from the presence of people of knowledge and information. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making us of the people of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.